Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Buy a shotgun.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think that may be the best advice we've heard coming out of the White House in quite a while. Go out and buy a shotgun. At least it's a start. This is the Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics Gun Control What You Want to Know Show. All right? I told you a couple weeks ago we had to get this and cover it. Today we got Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. He's going to help walk us through some of these questions everyone's having. So we got a great guest coming up. We got a lot to talk about. And before we do, I got some news to talk to you about. What's going on with Doc Holliday right here at Rock Splitting Politics. And we got the Tombstone of the Week Award. And we'll hear a little bit more from Vice President Joe Biden when we get ready for the Tombstone of the Week Award toward the end of the show. So sit back and let's get this thing cranked up right now. And you know we got a show packed in when you got a start like that. All right. Thanks to William Tell Overture. Think of the Long Ranger. Think of Doc Holliday. Think about a show about gun control. You got it all added up. I think we could hear that sound bite from Joe Biden one more time. Well, we'll wait. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. Listen, so much to go over. Obamacare. What's your state doing? Is your state expanding Medicaid? Why? Why? Yes, they say, well, we can't afford to not do it. The federal government's going to pay for all of it first 3 years. Look, Obama said everybody's going to get insured. So if you don't expand Medicaid in your state, everybody still got to get insured. Everybody. Are they going to have to pay a tax? You know, they call it a penalty. The Supreme Court calls it a tax. The taxes are going up on everybody. And if you can't afford the state can't afford to do Medicaid, they're going to be covered. Everybody's going to be covered. Obama says so. That's what Obamacare is for. You have to be covered if you're a living, breathing human being in the United States of America. You will have to be covered by law. It's a tax. It's a tax, says John Roberts of the Supreme Court. It's a penalty, says Barack Obama, President of the United States. But the only way it's constitutional is because it is a tax. Even if your state does not expand Medicaid, you still will have everyone covered, says President Barack Obama. That's what Obamacare is about. The Patient Affordability Act, whatever they really called it, it's none of the above. We know that. But everybody has to have insurance coverage. You have to, or you have to pay the tax. Why bust yourself and your state's all the money that you have in your state and for future references when you have to, when the federal government stops paying for after the first 3 years, your state's going to have a big bill, even though they'll help pay on some. The Medicaid expansion it's already overloaded. Doctors, it's hard to find doctors who will take Medicaid and then Medicare. You're going to squeeze good doctors out. People are going to stop taking it. Offices are going to say, we can't handle anymore. We're just going to stop doing Medicaid. It's going to swamp, folks. It's what I've said here, and we've had guests on here. Congressman Tom Price in Georgia, when he said, we didn't get a health care law. We got a ticket to stand in line. It's going to be a disastrous thing. Why bring your state into having to expand the Medicaid rolls? I don't understand it. Because everyone will be covered, says President Barack Obama, or they'll be paying a tax. Okay? And if people can't afford to pay a tax, they're supposed to be provided the health care coverage by the federal government. So why do you expand Medicaid and force the states to force doctors out, you know, either out of the business of caring for the Medicaid patients they already do because they'll be overloaded, or you just force good doctors into retirement, throw up their hands, say, I'm not going to take it anymore. Those are things you need to think about and contact your state legislatures where you are and tell them, you know, don't overload the Medicaid, the doctors who do take Medicaid. Good point, folks. You need to let them know. Now, another thing, Simpson Bowles, who President Barack Obama put together to help see how to get out of our national debt. And then he turned around and just laughed them off and never used anything. They've come back with a new plan, and I don't think any of the Democrats like that either. Check it out. They got a plan. It's credible. It's better. It beats no plan at all. And the Democrats in the Senate have not even passed the budget and going on 4 years. So it's laughable. It is laughable if it wasn't hurting so many people, and especially our young people and those who are not even in school yet. We are stealing from their future. This president and this Congress, especially the Senate, is stealing their future away. Commander in thief. Is that a new term? Commander in thief? Commander and thief. We have got to get the message out. This country has got to get turned around. And how can you turn it around? You got people like Senator Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, Democrat, liberal, and she tries to call herself a moderate. You remember the Louisiana purchase in Obamacare? Well, she's the one that negotiated for the Louisiana purchase. Well, anyway, come find out she had overdue taxes on her mansion in Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., she had to pay over $1,000 overdue taxes. Oh, her mistake. She didn't know. She didn't think Democrats had to pay taxes, I guess. That's just for Republicans. Well, I tell you what. You want exclusives right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Let me tell you. This is what I would like to see in 2014 in the state of Louisiana. Go back to one of our first guests when we changed our name of the show to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We had C.L. Bryant, a great black conservative from Louisiana. And I wish C.L. Bryant would get in the United States Senate race and knock Mary Landrieu out of the United States Senate. And let's get a good conservative in for the state of Louisiana. That's in the Doc Holliday's exclusive. You haven't heard it anywhere else around the country. You heard it right here on Doc Holliday's show. Get on the phone. Call C.L. Bryant. Tell him he needs to run against this liberal in Louisiana named Senator Mary Landrieu. Let's get her out of the office and let's get some conservatives with common sense ways to get this budget under control and get America moving again, where we can get real jobs, not have to worry about somebody's going to pay their taxes under a D.C. mansion. All right. I told you we got a lot packed in. Larry Pratt is coming up, and Gun Owners of America, he's the president and CEO there, and he has got some good information, and I'm going to ask him some great questions. So that's coming on in just a few minutes. But before we get there, yes, I got a lot of news to cover. One of the things, one of the co-chairs of the Presidential Debate Committee, the Committee on Presidential Debates, said they made one mistake. Who? You guessed it. They said the mistake was Candy Crowley of CNN. What a mistake when they put her in there. Could have cost it is costing the country. One night doesn't make an election. But when she sided with President Barack Obama against Mitt Romney, Governor Romney, when here the host is supposed to be fair to both sides, she stood and stayed right there with President Obama, backed him up on an answer that she just happened to have all the words of his speech, and she was wrong. She was wrong to do it, and she even took everything out of context of what Governor Romney said. I'm not going to go back. It's over. And I'm not going to go back and get everybody heated up. But thank goodness somebody realized she was a total mistake, And I hope, as America's economy goes south, I hope her hope whatever she makes at CNN goes south, and hope her show goes south along with CNN, and maybe they can pack up their bags and everybody can listen, all their listeners can come on and listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Well, we need more listeners than just what she has. I think her numbers have been falling, and they will continue to fall as ours are going up. And thank you. And saying that, thank you for our new listeners once again, and the friends, and everyone has told you to get on board and listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're growing because of you. Keep sending out the links and telling people about this show, because we're breaking ground. You hear things right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You won't hear anywhere else. Have you ever heard anyone tell C.L. Bryant to get in the race for the United States Senate in Louisiana? Well, you heard it right here. So spread the news. Let's get C.L. Bryant in that race, and let's get it in the conservative column. All right. One more thing I got to get to before we get into our special interview with Larry Pratt. One more thing. Marco Rubio. I made a little laugh about last week on last week's show about him getting a big gulp of water after in his response to the State of the Union address. Everybody's seen Saturday Night Live, did their little skit. So everybody's made fun of it. But what's a great leader to do? They laugh at themselves. Marco Rubio, he's come on strong, and I think that little bit that we thought, well, now is he ready for primetime television? Is he a primetime leader? Well, guess what? Last week, he went to Israel in the Middle East, and he made the most of it. You know, Obama made the fist bump famous. Obama has to use that fist like, the communist on some of the flags. But anyway, well, I won't go into that. But Marco Rubio, United States Senator from Florida, he did a water bump, the first water bump, with the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, Habibi, and Marco did a water bottle bump right there for the world to see. And, you know, saying a word, having a water bump, water bottle bump with the Prime Minister of Israel, it says, without saying a word, it says Marco Rubio is on the world stage. He's one to watch, and he commands an audience. That's Marco Rubio, and that's leadership. And I'm glad he's a rising star in the Republican Party. Now, it's time for an interview with Larry Pratt. He's the head of the Gun Owners of America. You can go to their website. I got it marked on the front page, but gunownersofamerica.org. And you're going to find this interview interesting and revealing. But if for some reason you don't you dare not listen to the end, because I got a question I'm going to ask Larry that I hope goes around the country and is part of the platform in whoever leads the Republican Party in 2016. I think whoever is running for president needs to listen to this question I'm going to ask Larry. Let's see what he says at the end of the interview. Let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. Here's Larry.
And good to be with you.
Well, Larry, we know that there's unprecedented rush for gun control, and at this time in our nation's history. Talk to me. I know you've been in knowing about guns, gun control for over 30 years now. Have you ever seen this much activity in the political realm to push gun control?
I've seen this much, but not for such a prolonged time. Following Columbine, there was quite an uproar,
mm-hmm.
Probably a rather equivalent to this. But after a couple of weeks, it tapered off, and at the moment, it's not showing much sign of tapering off.
Well, and we know that the states have done a lot of work in different legislatures, but New York actually passed a very stringent gun control law. How do you see that law affecting the citizens of New York?
A lot of instant criminals, a lot of people that have no intention of obeying the gun ban. They know that it's unconstitutional, and they're not about ready to forfeit their guns when what the state of New York has done is just outrageous and illegal.
And what explain to our listeners exactly what makes law-abiding citizens automatically become criminals?
Well, the legislature decided that any firearm that met their definition of a bad gun, what they call an assault weapon, was not going to be allowed for the people, neither a magazine over a certain size. And all of a sudden, anybody that had a semi-automatic rifle that could take a detachable magazine was in possession of contraband and has to turn it in or get it out of the state. And a lot of people are saying, says you.
If you had a magazine larger than what the law is, so you're sitting there breaking the law now if you're in New York State. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. It is just an amazing thing that one day you're legal, the next day you're illegal. And actually, I think a lot of people in New York have lost any respect that they might have had for the legislature and perhaps for many of the laws in general, because what the legislature did was just a flaming act of illegality.
Fill me in a little bit on what how many clips you have in a magazine in New York. I mean, is there the law enforcement? Are they able to have more, or are they limited by the own law that the legislature passed?
Interestingly, law enforcement is under the same law of 7 rounds, and frankly, I think in principle that's a good idea. The people in law enforcement should be on an equal footing. Law enforcement should not have firearms that are superior to those of the people. That was not the intention of the legislature, but in doing something terrible, they inadvertently did something that was a little bit okay.
You agree with that? The law enforcement shouldn't have more than what the common citizen has.
Exactly.
One of the things that we saw in New York, and we saw it pass through, and now President Obama, of course, is pushing the gun control big time, but he's put out some executive orders. Now, what exactly do the executive orders mean to you and me and citizens all around this country, Larry?
Technically, they mean nothing.
Okay.
They are all unconstitutional. They were all pending passage of legislation, although in one case the president inaccurately said that doctors are presently required to submit information to the government about the mental health of their patients, and that is specifically prohibited right now under federal law.
So
we know that because we put it there ourselves.
But on that point,
legislators who did it.
On that point, Larry, so President Obama did a complete 180. He said one thing, but it's absolutely untrue. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. The guy evidently is getting very used to ruling by executive order. Expressions of how he's thinking is, well, if the Congress isn't going to act, I'll simply have to go ahead. Mm. Well, maybe the Congress isn't acting because they don't have authority either. And so their lack of action does not confer authority on the president. The Constitution confers what little authority he has, and he's gone way beyond the Constitution, certainly in the case of firearms. This man is over the top and, frankly, behaving quite tyrannically.
Larry, let me jump in right here and remind our listeners, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. We're listening to a conversation with Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, and we also, in just a minute, we're going to ask him about what happens if you disobey one of the executive orders on gun control put out by President Barack Obama. What happens? We're also going to ask Larry, I want to ask you, Larry, before the end of the show, what you think about the Civil Rights Division. But we'll get to that toward the end, so everybody stay on and listen. In the meantime, let me remind you, all our listeners, go back and listen to our archives. We got some great guests, great shows. The last 2 or 3 weeks have been phenomenal. Of all the things going on, State of Union Address, so if you hadn't heard the shows, go back and listen to those. And let me tell you one thing. Our good friends at Freedom Works, you need to go to freedomworks.org. Check them out because they are leading the fight in making this country listen to the people. The grassroots efforts are unprecedented in the way they bring people together. I was there just last week, and listen, Freedom Works has got the people, the plan, the action to put things together. Make sure you go to freedomworks.org and check them out and see what you can do to get plugged in to this grassroots effort to turn this nation around. And I also want to remind you that you can go to my website. Just click on the front homepage right here of this show and order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're on the air because of people like you listening to us and buying my book, other books on there. We appreciate what you do when you order books. Give them to your friends. Give them to your relatives. Give them to your liberal friends. Let them see what America is saying. Getting my book and spreading out the word and telling people to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on www.webtalkradio.net. Other great shows there, and you can just go there and listen to other shows as long as you make sure you lock in Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics first. Now we're going to get right back to you, Larry, and let's continue our conversation. What are the executive orders that he put out? Like I said, they don't have legal standing in some regards, but could be people get arrested by disobeying what his executive orders are?
They could be, and ultimately they would prevail in court. That would be expensive, and it's outrageous that somebody may end up having to do that in order to overturn what this guy has done. It also could go away once we get another attorney general and another president. Those executive orders would, I would hope, be among the first things to be done away with.
Give me an example of what you don't like that he put out as an executive order, Larry.
Well, he's basically trying to enact gun bans and magazine bans by executive order. The Congress doesn't even have that authority. Mm-hmm. The Congress thinks it does, and they are considering legislation presented by Senator Dianne Feinstein, mm-hmm. but it's not likely that Congress is going to act on that, and that's as it should be because they don't have that authority. The president also wants to see an expanded background check. Well, that's unconstitutional. There's no legal basis even for that. The only legal basis is the current unconstitutional system that's in operation, which, by the way, does nothing to reduce crime, according to a Journal of the American Medical Association study published in 2004. So here we have something that's not useful for law enforcement, doesn't help find criminals or solve crimes, and yet we're keeping a list of the Americans who buy a gun. I got a real problem with that.
Well, I have a problem with the government knowing things. You know, they won't know everything about everybody, and there's, like you said, there's no constitutional right for President Obama to come in and say he wants your name and address and name of your gun and serial number and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. This is information he's not supposed to have, and frankly, I think we need to take some pretty decisive action legislatively to make sure that that point doesn't get lost. I think it's a dangerous time that we're in because the president is a socialist, and he thinks that somehow his election by a majority vote is all he needs to do to enact his own legislative agenda, and that's so far from what the Constitution permits him that it makes you wonder what exactly he has in mind.
Well, I mean, that we've talked about that before, and it concerns us all, but you did mention about the law that the bill that Senator Feinstein in California is bringing forward and in the United States Congress. Would it? Let me ask you this. I don't see how it could ever get through the House, thank goodness, and I don't think you'd think it would either. But would it not be good for the Senate? That's what President Obama says. Let's have a vote. You know, he's pushing. Let's vote on it. Make a vote on it. Would it not be good for the United States Senate to vote on it and see where some of these Democrats stand before the 2014 election?
That might happen, and frankly, I think that's one reason Harry Reid is reluctant to have a vote, because it would put those targets on the backs of some of his Democrat members. Or it might actually be such that the pressure would be on them to vote pro-Second Amendment, and the anti-gun measure would then fail. So Reid's got to be thinking, why do I want to force my guys to vote on something that they can't really win on? Either they vote with their state or they vote with their party, but either way, something's going to suffer why not just leave it alone?
Well, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Maybe, I know you study these things. Why is the president so hell-bent on getting this? He's saying, let's have a vote. And I know he's writing letters, emails out to all his supporters saying, give me a gun story, or, you know, a story where guns have hurt your family, and saying, you know, we need to make sure Congress has a vote on this. I don't understand his reasoning, because it does put pressure, I think, on Senator Reid in the U.S. Senate. But can you figure out why he's trying to push his own party to get a vote?
Well, we saw something similar to this with Richard Nixon. He didn't care what happened to his party, and he did things and wanted votes on things that were not helpful for his party. And the same thing, I believe, is what we're looking at with the president now. He doesn't seem to place his party in as high a concern as maybe his legacy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to go ahead and get gun control put through, because I, Barack Obama, did it when nobody else could. If that means my party gets clobbered in 2014, well, I'm talking about my legacy. I really think that may be what's going on in his mind. Obviously, I can't read minds. I may certainly be mistaken, but it would at least explain rationally why he's behaving otherwise in what would appear to be so strange a way.
Well, Larry, I don't know if that's good or bad. That's why I'm thinking, too. So we may be thinking the same thing. But I can't see, you know, logically why he would want to push the get the vote through when they know they can't even get it through the House. But I'd like to see him do it personally, because I think it would put pressure on some of these moderate Democrats that are in red states.
Yeah. I think, and that may be why we don't see a vote. And also, if you're going to mark up your guys, and it's going to go over to the House and almost certainly be killed, if it's acted on at all, why do that?
Yeah.
So the best guess right now is that it's not likely that it's going to come up for a vote. And
well, Larry, turning back for our listeners, help me to understand, our listeners to understand, what how many rounds can you have in a magazine now? We know you can't have a machine gun, you can't have hundreds of rounds. So what's legal?
You can pretty much have as many rounds in a magazine as the magazine will hold.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would caution somebody that you get up around 100 rounds and it's entirely possible that it's going to become jammed and malfunction in some way. So you're probably better off having a 10-20 round magazine that you could rather easily detach and reinsert a full one in very short order. My own preference would be, as a practical matter, to stay in the 10-20 round range, maybe going to 30, but I'd start to get worried about malfunction somewhere around that point. So there are practical limits that the government really, I think we know better what size magazine we want to have, and the government can just go pound sand.
In your view, the government shouldn't put a limit on any rounds in the magazine? Or what
shall not be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
And a limit on a magazine is an infringement.
Okay, that's why I wanted to bring that out and see where you stand on that. And when people say, like in New York, we say 7 rounds, that's, to you, I mean, as far as you see it, that's totally unconstitutional, correct?
And I think that's likely to fall. The ban on the guns is clearly flying in the face of the McDonald versus Chicago case, where a gun ban in Chicago was overturned. And if the court is presented with a magazine ban along with a gun ban, we're not certain what the court would do in that case, but chances are the court might just as well say, no, you can't ban a gun, and part of a gun is a magazine, so you can't ban that either.
One of the things that we find precious here in America, we had the whole civil rights movement, and the Second Amendment, is that not a civil right?
I would hope so. The whole idea of the Bill of Rights is the protection of individual rights against the government, and those individual rights are, simply put another way, civil rights.
Well, that's what, thank you, that's why the liberal press, the mainstream media, they talk about civil rights, And somehow the Second Amendment gets left out of the Bill of Rights when they, you know, we talk about our civil rights. So I just wanted to make sure our listeners know it's one of our civil rights written into the Constitution, what you're standing up for.
Exactly. Exactly right. That's clear as a bell and only could be puzzling to a lawyer.
Do you think that, I have to ask you this question, you think our president will make sure this Second Amendment's covered in his civil rights administration? I know there's thousands, hundreds of lawyers, I don't know if that, there's hundreds of lawyers working in the United States Civil Rights Division. Is there anybody working for the Second Amendment in that?
No, sir. We've not been able to discover any such person.
Well, maybe the next somebody wants to be our next president and can start talking about that.
That would be a very welcome development, a very positive development, and frankly, it would be something to encourage. Yes, indeed.
Well, I'm going to encourage it, and I hope you will too, Larry. And thank you for coming on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. It's been great to have you on for your expertise.
Well, and just speaking for Gun Owners of America, let me say we appreciate you. And by the way, if folks want to get some more information about Gun Owners of America, they can go to gunowners.org on the web.
Thank you for giving out that information, and we shall get you on again. And good luck in all your endeavors, Larry.
And to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Larry Pratt and Gun Owners of America. And didn't he wrap up some good things? And can you believe what he said? In New York, you had law-abiding citizens one day, the gun owners law-abiding, and the next day, they're breaking the law. They're criminals. So he reminded us that, along with, I did ask Larry about why is the United States Division of Civil Rights, why doesn't it cover our Second Amendment right? That's a civil right. So you heard it right here, an exclusive right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Let's start asking future presidential candidates or those who are thinking about it, would you put our civil rights in the United States Division of Civil Rights about the Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms in our homes? And so let's start asking some conservatives, will you make sure we get lawyers protecting that right in the United States Division of Civil Rights? So that's one thing that you heard here that you won't hear anywhere else. And thank you for listening. It's time for this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. It goes to Vice President Biden. You heard just a clip of it. Let's hear the whole clip and see why. And I'll tell you why he gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Vice President Shotgun Joe Biden. Here he is.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double barrel shotgun. Have the shells, a 12-gauge shotgun. And I promise you, as I told my wife, we live in an area that's wooded and somewhat secluded. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fired two blasts outside the house. I promise you, whoever's ever coming in is not going to. You don't need an AR-15. It's harder to aim, it's harder to use, and in fact, you don't need 30 rounds to protect yourself. Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun.
Well, there was a Vice President Biden, Shotgun Joe's two warning shots. Did you hear those? Well, it's enough to scare me, but I'm not the hardcore criminal. I think you better have a plan B. And plan A, what if your wife cannot hold a double barrel shotgun? What if we got one of these 95 pounders? Well, I tell you, sometimes you better have a plan B. Do you need the AR-15? Well, I know one thing. You can blast those two warning shots, and I hope most people run away. Don't count on reloading that. Have something ready to go. So maybe the shotgun sales will go up. All the other gun sales have gone up in the last couple of months with President Obama's actions and rhetoric. So the vice president may just help sell some shotguns across America. But he gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award because he's saying all you need is a shotgun. Well, you get two shots. You know, that doesn't cover every situation, Shotgun Joe. And I just have to tell you, I want to thank you for at least bringing guns. And there's so many people in the Democratic Party that won't have nothing to do with a gun, but at least you did say that you could use that shotgun for warning shots, but you better have a plan B ready after that. And that's why you get this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, trying to back up your president on this gun control and yet not giving a full explanation of how what should do people should do if they can't handle a shotgun. So, and if they don't have a plan B, what if somebody is coming in the house and they don't run away after two blasts of a double barrel shotgun? And those are things we're thinking about, and you're listening to us right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We've packed it in once again, so don't miss next week's show. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my trip to Washington, D.C., so be sure to tune in next week. And until then, let's give the last two comments to Vice President Shotgun Joe.
Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.